Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi, Psalm 39, Mizmor, Lamed Tet. It's very powerful that in Psalm 34, when David asks, what is the elixir for a long and meaningful life, he gives one clear answer. Netzor l'shoncha meira, guard your tongue. The notion of the power and danger of speech hit David hard, and he mentions it many times throughout the Psalter. Psalm 39 is in part dedicated to him holding his tongue and the struggle he had with that while suffering at the hands of detractors, enemies, evildoers. The psalm begins with a new title word, of which, of course, we will find a debate about its interpretation, though this one would seem to have a more unanimous agreement. L'manatzeh li yidutun mizmor l'David, to the chief musician, to yidutun, a psalm of David. Now, yidutun was an actual biblical personality, as we read in the book of Chronicles. And David and the captains and the host separated for the service certain of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Yidutun, who should prophesy with lyres, with lutes, and with cymbals. Nevertheless, Rashi and others suggest that it might be actually the name of the musical instrument called a Yidutun, from which the psalmist gave the cue in the title. Verses 2 to 4 describe David's struggles with keeping silent amidst the attacks of his enemies. At first, he was successful, but ultimately relented and let his mouth run rampant. Amarti eshmera drachai mechato bilshoni, eshmera lefi machzom ba'od resha lenegdi, ne'elamti dumiya hechsheti mitov uche'evi ne'ekar, cham libi bekirbi bahagigi. It's quite poetic, very rhythmic. I said I will take heed to my ways and that I will shall not sin with my tongue. I'll muzzle my mouth while the wicked man is before me. I was silenced, dumb with silence. I held my peace. I had no comfort and my pain was stirred up. But then my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned and then I spoke with my tongue. David speaks of his process, first being able to control his emotions, suffer in silence, but the pain overtook him, his body heating up in anger, and he finally unleashed his tongue. Now, was he referring to a moment when he lashed out at his enemies and spoke in unsavory terms? Did he speak about his enemies to others? Or perhaps did he call out to God in an untoward way? We don't know. The next psalm, section of the psalm turns to God with a request. Hodieni Adonai kitzi midat yamai mahi. God, let me know my end, or perhaps my purpose, and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? Behold, you have made my days like tfachot, like handbreadths, like specific measurements. My age is nothing before you. Truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Sela. Ach b'tselem yitalech ish. Surely every man walks in his likeness, God's tselem Elohim. Ach hevel yemayun yitzpor v'lo yeda miosfem. Surely it is only for vanity that they are in turmoil. He heaps upon riches and does not know who shall gather them. Hurst suggests the transition between the two sections as follows. David, realizing he might be suffering for the rest of his days and struggling with his enemies, when to lash out and when to remain silent, was not unaware of the fact that there are people whose lives are not so dramatic and troubled. He is stumped by the meaning of his existence and wonders what will become of him. Thus he asks, what is my goal, the measure of my days? How much or little time do I have left? On the one hand, we are made in his likeness, he says, and seemingly should transcend above the menial struggles and pettiness. At the same time, it is the vanity, the silliness which occupies our minds, complicates our mission. Surely, if he has the proper perspective, he can overcome the foolishness of the world and rise up to assume that Selem, the likeness of God, right? His response comes in the third and final section. Ve'ata makiviti Adonai tochalti l'chahi. Michol b'sha'ai hatzileini chirpat naval al tisimeni. Ne'lamti ki, ne'lamti lo'evtach pi ki ata asita. And now, Lord, For what do I wait? My hope is in you. Save me for all my transgressions. Do not make the scorn of the villain. I'm dumb. I do not open my mouth because it is you who did it. Haser me alai nigecha. Mitigrat yadcha ani chiliti. It's a complicated word translation. Remove your, it's one possibility is stroke, another possibility is finger away from me. We'll see what that means. I'm consumed by the blow of your hand. When with you, with rebukes, chastise man for iniquity, you make his beauty consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. The powerful vavs in Tehillim always enlighten our appreciation of the poetry in the moment the psalmist turns from one set of emotions to a next. Ve'ata, and now, after having acknowledged my struggle with controlling my mouth, despite the evil that surrounds me, David says, and I've given some thought to my ultimate meaning and purpose, and it led me to realize that the struggle will never stop. After realizing that I must fight externally my enemies, as well as internally my inclination to sin or to lash out inappropriately, in order to attain the ultimate goal of Tzelem Elohim, Ve'ata, and now, what is it that I wait for? I wait for you, God. The last two psukim, he asks God to help him in this endeavor. Shema tfilati Adonai v'shavati hazina al dimati atecharash, ki ger nochi imach, toshav kechol avotai. He continues to ask for God's support in saving him from sin. In trying to maintain his composure and not speak out inappropriately, he asks for God, that God should help. He asks God to remove his punishing finger. This is Hirsch's unique translation to the word mega. It could mean his malady or his sickness, but Hirsch says, no, it's his punishing finger, so that he endures the suffering which intend to train and discipline him. For he understands now that the suffering he endured were only meant to make him more resilient to pain and resolve to find a path of righteousness despite the pain. In conclusion, he asks two things from God. First, to not be silent towards him. Al techarash, which is the opposite of what he asks of himself. He asks himself to be silent, and he asks God to not be silent. The second thing he says is quite interesting. He says, God, turn away from me. The opposite of what he's been trying to do all this time, which is to draw nearer to God. But he needs God's rebuke in words and actions in order to mend his ways and find the right path. But that path he must find on his own, with God turned away so that he can recover from his pain and continue to serve God before his time is up and he will be here no more. On the one hand, there's a sense of desperation and despair in the words of the psalmist. On the other hand, there is still hope. He realizes his days are numbered, but that just energizes him to create a plan towards God, towards attaining his ideal goal of being a Tzelem Elohim, the likeness of God, and to try to find that consistency, even during times of trial. His last request is unusual, asking God to turn away from him so that he may recover and then find him once again, rebuilt and rejuvenated.